begins to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greet you, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Listen, if he isn't yours, he can be. He wants to be. In fact, he came to be. The book of Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now listen, friend, you may have started the day in the lost category, but you can end it up in the right and in the saved category. You may have started this day on your way to a Christless eternity or a devil's hell, but oh, if you just put your trust in Christ, friend, listen, you just put your trust in Christ, I'll tell you what, you become a new creature in Him. Well, I hope this finds you well. I do know it finds you blessed, and my prayer for you would be what John's was for Gaius, that you would prosper and be in health if you're saved, even as your soul prospers. Hey, listen, God wants us that are saved, those of us whose sins are under the blood, whose names are according to the Lamb's Book of Life, who have been sealed with the Spirit of God, He wants us to prosper. He's given us all things richly to enjoy, the Word of God said, is in light, in fact, of what Jesus, or what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 8, seeing that God didn't withhold His Son, why would anyone think that He would hold or withhold anything else from us to make us prosper and to be joyous in Christ Jesus? Well, excited about the message God has laid in my heart. I've opened my Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, right after the book of Philemon or Philemon, depends on what part of the country you're from. Right before the book of James, and I'm going to read beginning with verse 14 and finish the chapter, which is only two other verses, 14 through 16, and share with you the message that God has laid on my heart. Excited about it. I'm always excited about preaching the Word of God, and I trust. I trust our time together will be a blessing. I trust that you'll feel like this is an investment. Thank you for tuning in. Well, here's Debbie with the song. The title of it is, and I love this, "The Lord is My Shepherd." I believe it goes along with the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. And I'm glad we've got one that's able to meet and exceed our need. Enjoy. I'll be back in a moment.
Are there times when you feel all alone? And there's times when you just don't feel very strong. That is the time that we lean upon the Lord. That's when the shepherd will calm his troubled sheep.
Makes me
Well, Fred, wasn't that beautiful? Listen, if you aren't one of his sheep, if you aren't a part of the fold of God, if you aren't a part of the family of God, you can become that way today. Listen, I'm telling you, God wants you to be saved. He sent his son. So much does he want you to be saved that he sent his son. He didn't spare Jesus. He gave Jesus. He offered him, friend, so that you and I could be saved, so that you and I could know him and the free pardon and forgiveness of sin. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God reads as this. Paul said, seeing then that we have. I like that. Don't you? I like that. Boy, that's a statement. Bless God. That's a statement of assurance. He didn't say we may have or hope we have. He said, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and listen to this next statement, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Well, I'll tell you, friend, I'm going to talk to you a little while today about this thought, and I hope it is a blessing to you. I hope it encourages you, friend. I hope it reaffirms what you already know, or else educates you on something that you weren't aware of. But I'm going to talk to you about this thought, what Christ is doing since Calvary. What Christ is doing since Calvary. Hey, look, we know that 40 days after his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, after showing himself, according to the book of Acts chapter 1, for 40 days with many infallible proofs, undeniable evidence that he that was dead is alive and he's alive forevermore, showing him, friend, himself to those whom he loved, who lived for him. He never showed himself, friend, to those who disbelieved or those who were not one of his followers. Even at one time, above 500 saw him after that he had been crucified, after that he had been buried, and after that he came out from among the dead on the third and appointed morning according to the Scriptures. They saw him, friend. They gave bold, undeniable, incontestable witness that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that virgin-born Son of Mary, that Son of God who became the Son of Man, was alive. And like Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, he said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I say, glory, hallelujah to that. Listen, just a few days ago, the making of this program, even the airing of this program, we celebrated Easter. We celebrated the fact that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. We celebrated the fact that, as John said in the gospel that bear his name, as John the Baptist cried out and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We celebrate the fact that he was slain at Calvary and raised 3 days later. And friend, he ascended. He ascended 40 days later, as I'm just saying, back into the heavenlies. And the men of Galilee were standing, gazing, looking up into heaven as they heard three angels say, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see ascending will also descend in like manner. Well, what's he doing between the time that he ascended and the time that he will descend? You know what the Word of God does? It tells us. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Just throw it in and let you think. Bless God. God was doing all kinds of things before. Bless God, he entered into the stream of humanity. Do you know that? I mean, to tell you, God was busy in eternity past before he made and laid the mud seals of planet Earth, put Adam and Eve in a special place, a perfect place, for a perfect purpose, friend. And, oh, listen, friend, before all this mess got started, oh, I want you to know that he was doing something great. But what's Christ doing since Calvary? Well, I'll tell you what, this theme of the book of Hebrews, or this thought of what I'm preaching, is the theme, and it is one of the great themes of the book of Hebrews. So I'll get it out right in a minute. You say, what is a preacher? The fact of the priesthood of Christ. Oh, listen, friend, the Word of God is going to tell us, matter of fact, Paul did in verse 1 of chapter 3 of this same book. He said, let us therefore, holy brethren, he said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You know what? The Word of God, listen, encourages us to do that, but in some degree, I believe it's more than a suggestion. We are to consider Him. Oh, Paul, listen, in this book of Hebrews shows us much about the priesthood of Christ. And how this priesthood of him that came out of the tribe of Judah and not the tribe of Levi was superior to that of Aaron and all of his descendants. Well, I'll tell you, when Paul was writing this, and I believe without a doubt, I know the Holy Spirit of God authored it, but Paul wrote it, I believe, to his own country and to his own people. What a better individual could be found than the Apostle Paul to write to those while the temple was still standing, who had been introduced to Christ, who was having trouble because of persecution, knowing what to do. Do they go back to the law? Do they follow Christ? Do they endure this tribulation that's coming their way? Oh, could you imagine, friend, listen, the many things that were thrown to them, the confusion of mind and heart and spirit after having 1,500 years of tradition behind them, being the chosen people of God. And now, even while the temple we yet standing, and we know at times we think it's easier to live by sight than it is by faith, but that's really not true. Well, Paul was saying, hey, let us go on to perfection. And here's part of the way that we can do it. We need to understand that Christ has been busy, seated in a special place, doing a special ministry ever since He ascended after Calvary. Oh, what a message this is. Now listen, friend, Christ, we know, fills three different offices. He filled the offices of prophet, priest, and king. When He was here in the flesh, when He walked on planet earth, He fulfilled the office of the prophet. That's a past ministry that He did. Now, currently, bless God, as He's seated on the right hand of the majesty on high, as He's seated, friend, on the right hand of the Father, as He's seated in the heavenlies, He has a present ongoing work. I mean to tell you, He offered Himself at Calvary as the sinner's substitute. But oh, on the day that He was crucified, on the day, friend, in which He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When He bowed His head and died and gave up the ghost, bless God, He fulfilled the office of the priesthood in that, on the cross that in those 3 hours of darkness became an altar. There, as the high priest would offer the lamb on the day of atonement, Christ offered Himself up to God as an eternal sacrifice, holy, without blemish, without spot. Oh, listen, that perfect Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world. And you know what He's doing? Right now, He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, making continual intercession for you and I, sir, you and I, friend, those of us who have been redeemed by the Lamb, those of us who have become a part of His family, always there making intercession for you and I. Oh, thank God. Thank God that He is. I'm glad He's seated. I'm glad that there's a picture of the fact that, bless God, His work is done. His work is accepted. And His work, thank God, is effective. And He'll come one day as the King. Yes, He will. But look at verse 14 again and think about our expectation. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Ah, listen, friend, Christ fills an office, occupies a position, is a person that Aaron never was. Aaron was a great man, without a doubt. I mean to tell you, he was a special character in many ways, or else God would not have called him. God would not have placed him into that marvelous position of high priest to the nation of Israel. That individual that represented a nation before God. That's what a priest does. A priest represents people before a holy God. A prophet represents God before a people. But this, a high priest of ours, by the name of Jesus Christ, friend, hey, listen, friend, he's our expectation because he's greater in his purpose and he's greater in his position. Ah, listen, like I said, Aaron was a good man. I believe he was a great man. Oh, we find that he was just a man. We find, friend, that he was made out of clay. But I'll tell you, I believe that he performed the office of high priest in Israel in a great way. But ah, today, because of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done and where he's at, is our great high priest. It was a title that Aaron never could hold. How about he's greater in his position, greater in his person, greater in his person because he was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. In fact, he was the answer to Job's prayer in chapter 9, verse 33, where he said, oh, if only had a daysman, somebody that could lay their hand on God because they were like God. Somebody that could lay their hand on man because he was like man and bring man and God together. Oh, I want you to know the man, Jesus Christ, our great high priest, did that at the cross of Calvary when he was suspended between heaven and earth. Hey, listen, friend, Aaron ministered in an earthly tabernacle. But listen to what the Word of God said about Jesus. He's passed into the heavens, past the atmosphere that's around this planet, past the stars, the sun and the moon, and the planetary heaven, into the third heaven, which is the dwelling place of God. And you know what he did? He took up his office right there. He sat down the right hand of the Father. He's passed into the heavens. Listen, one time, bless God, as opposed to Aaron going in and out of the in and out of the holy place in the tabernacle, and then the high priest eventually, the descendants of Aaron eventually into the temple. They did it once every year, only once, but every year. They did it continually because their priesthood was inadequate. Their priesthood was limited. But all because of the person of Jesus Christ, his priesthood is eternal. And that's why he said in the book of Hebrews 7:25 that he's a high priest, bless God, that is able to save to the uttermost, actually verse 24, because he ever liveth in verse 25. But not only is he our expectation, but thank God, look at verse 15. He is our representation. If we have not a high priest, cannot be touched the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. May I tell you, sir, ma'am, listen to what he said in Hebrews 2, and I can't read it all, don't have time. If I have time, I'd read beginning of verse 9 in chapter 2. You read it, it'll help you down through verse 18. But let me tell you what it says. We've got a high priest, do you hear me? Listen, friend, that didn't take on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. You say, why? Because it behooved him to be made like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, in order to make reconciliation for the sins of people. I am that himself, listen, hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor or to help or enable those that have sinned. Oh, Jesus the Savior, I thank God that He's identified with us. Bless God, He died for us. And I'm glad today, I thank God where He's at representing us. We have Jesus, I'm the Savior. That's what His name means, I'm the Deliverer, and He's there. Now listen, I believe Aaron understood His people. I believe He understood them down in Egypt. I believe He understood them when they came out of Egypt headed to the land of promise. I believe them, they failed and they sinned and they come to Him. I believe He understood them. Do you know what the Gospels tell us? That Jesus was tempted like as we are in all points yet without sin. I believe we're understood by Him. I believe, bless God, He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows, friend, bless God, what it is to be tempted and pressured and tested. He doesn't know what it is to sin, to be pressured to the point that a man sins. He was sinless. He knew no sin. He had no sin. He did no sin. But let me tell you, He's faithful. He understands. And bless God, that's why we've got this invitation. Oh, I've got to hurry. I wish I had more time. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Listen, we're always in need, and you know that. We recognize it more at times than at others, but we're always in need. Now I want you to notice how this verse begins and ends. It says, let us therefore come boldly. And then if we do, you know what it tells us, bless God? We can hold fast our profession firm until the end. Verse 14 says that. Isn't that amazing? I said it begins and ends with that. But verse 16 begins with that. Verse 14 ends with, let us hold fast our profession. Hey, friend, I'll tell you. Can I tell you this? The end is determined by this. It is a choice. Let us. That's a theme in the book of Hebrews. It's a key phrase. It's oft repeated. And we need to choose to access this throne. We need to choose how to come boldly to it when we need it, so that we may thereby, bless God, hold fast our profession. Hey, listen, friend, listen. We're not able to do that on ourselves. He didn't say hold fast your salvation, but He said hold fast your profession. And bless God, listen, sir, ma'am, listen, my brother, sister in Christ. Listen, sinner friend. When you get saved, you don't do it yourself. You don't do it on your own living the Christian life. But we have access to all the grace we need, all the mercy we need, because of the person that's sitting upon that throne in the position that He occupies, that place of grace and mercy. Listen, Jesus, listen, friend. Did what Aaron couldn't do. Bless God, under the old economy, Aaron could go in once a year. Jesus went in and stayed. He sat down. And you know what that provides for us? It provides for us what the old economy couldn't for the individual. I'm talking about every one of Israel. But today, you and I, if we're saved as we are part of a royal priesthood, we have the opportunity, we even have the command, friend, to come boldly, not brazenly, but boldly, bless God, speedily, confidently, bless God, openly, before a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Listen, that veil in the temple was rent in twain. It was thrown back. The way between God and man was made available. And we, friend, have access to all that we need to make this life, bless God, as a believer in and a follower of Jesus Christ, to do it faithfully, to do it fully, to do it functionally, to do it finally, friend. Hey, He knows our needs, but He wants us to come. And when we do, anytime and every time we come for any reason. And every reason, I bless God, we'll find the throne occupied with a person, hallelujah, who understands, who's willing to provide what we need, but what we don't deserve. Hey, friend, listen. If you will today, if you want to hold fast your profession, faithful unto the end, what you got to do is seek Him, go for Him. Listen, I don't know what your need is in closing today. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know where you failed. I don't know where you're weak. But go to Him. I go to Him that sits on the throne. I go to Him that is, was, and always shall be. Go to Him that's our faithful high priest. And you know what He'll give? He'll give you grace. He'll give you mercy. If you're lost, He'll give you salvation because of what He's done and doing since Calvary. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.